can't predict the results, you don't control it. And since this is often thought to be either irreverent or at least tempting God when it's applied to prayer, then the second method becomes more appropriate. And the second method is to check the logic of the system. Meaning, is it consistent with the other things I have proven for myself to be true about life? Or is there anything that is in contradiction with what I already know to be the truth? And I'm afraid that that second method is the only recourse we have in this inquiry, because I'm in no position to arrange laboratory tests here that we can all view. Now, it's very understandable, again, that one may not be enthusiastic about putting such a system to a logical test, because he feels that it is working, and if he fails the test, he'll have less than what he started with. But it will only fail because of a demonstrable reason, which can then be the key to a better method, and so he's really got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Now, let me acknowledge that the word prayer can be defined to mean many different things. So let me begin by dividing the possible definitions of prayer into two different categories. One would be attempts to change reality, and the other would be attempts to work within the framework of reality, the fixed nature of things. Now, I'm not going to cover every possible definition of prayer specifically, but I get the impression that these two things being mutually exclusive and all-inclusive will at least cover the general areas involved in which one may define prayer. Let's take the first one. If I, through prayer, could change the natural order of things, then we must recognize that your life would be adversely affected by my prayer, because you could no longer depend upon the laws of nature to act unchangeably in every case. Your dealings with nature would now be vulnerable to any pleas that I make for exemptions from the laws of nature. This, as I tried to point out last week, applies also to the concepts of positive thinking that include the idea that you can think right and other people will change their natures and their attitude towards you. Now, I must also remember that reality applies to the fixed nature of me as well as to the fixed nature of physics and other people. If I'm careless and I fall off a chair and break my hip, then the reality of the situation is that it will require certain physical things to take place before that hip can be restored to full utility. And here is where the relevance of making sure that it is prayer that is working comes into the picture. Because if I really believe that I can heal my hip one day faster than the physical laws would indicate, then I can disregard what I know about taking physical care of my body, because it has been superseded by something that is superior to it. I can afford to have accidents because I know I can rehabilitate myself quickly through prayer. And if it is said that this is tempting God by doing something that I could have prevented and therefore the prayer wouldn't work, I must answer that you cannot divide such examples into what is preventable and what isn't. There is no example that could be cited that was not preventable by me. It is always a question of how I wish to allocate my resources. For instance, example number one. Suppose I intentionally flout natural law and act in such a way that breaking my hip is almost inevitable. And for a second example, suppose my intentions are entirely different. But in the course of being preoccupied with something else, I ignore the circumstances and fall and break my hip. And finally, for a third example, suppose I am concentrating on my own health and I say, whatever happens, I don't want to break my hip and I am concerned about my well-being. But a reckless driver runs into me and causes me to break my hip. Well, now, I have heard discussions of prayer that indicate that in the first example, you could expect no results, because you tempted God by bringing about the broken hip in the first place. The second example would be more debatable, because here your intentions were good, but you were a little careless. But the third example would be absolutely a proper situation for the use of prayer to good advantage, because it was somebody else's fault that you broke your hip. But the fact of the matter, as we've already seen in this course, is that in every one of these instances, the individual could have prevented the accident by making different decisions as to what he would do with his resources before the accident. The reckless driver couldn't hit me until I stepped out of my house and decided to run the risk of walking out on the streets and possibly being hit by a reckless driver. He was in a position to do so simply because I did not choose to use my resources in a way that would absolutely protect me from such a possibility. I weighed the alternative courses of action.